Uparts stand at the crossroads of science, archaeology, and mystery. Objects, artifacts, even locations discovered in contexts that seem impossible according to conventional historical timelines. From a sophisticated ancient Greek computer found in a shipwreck to the perplexing discovery of a 20,000-year-old battery in Baghdad, these Uparts challenge our perception of the past and the capabilities of our ancient ancestors. How did these anomalies of the past come to exist? Are they evidence of lost civilizations, advanced ancient technologies, or perhaps contact with extraterrestrial cultures? Or are they simply misunderstood pieces of our history, waiting for a place in the puzzle of the human story? Often hailed as the world's first analog computer, the Antikythera mechanism is a marvel of ancient engineering that predates modern technological inventions by millennia. Its discovery in a shipwreck off the coast of the Greek island of Antikythera in 1901 by sponge divers has since captivated historians, archaeologists, and scientists alike. The Antikythera mechanism is believed to have been created by Greek scientists sometime between 200 BC and 100 BC, based on radiocarbon dating and analysis of Greek letters inscribed on the device. The shipwreck where it was found dated to approximately the same period, suggesting that it was being transported from one Greek location to another, possibly from Rhodes to Rome, amongst other looted treasures. This ancient device is composed of over 30 gears, made of bronze, housed in a wooden frame that has since decayed. The gears are intricately designed and interlock with precision, allowing the mechanism to model the motion of the moon and planets according to the geocentric model, where Earth is at the universe's center. It could predict solar and lunar eclipses, track the lunar calendar, forecast the positions of the sun and the moon in the zodiac, and even signal the timing of the ancient Olympic Games. The complexity of the Antikythera mechanism suggests an understanding of differential gearing, which has not been seen again until the development of astronomical clocks in the 14th century. This level of technology indicates that ancient Greek scientists had a remarkably advanced grasp of astronomy and mechanical engineering. Now, despite extensive study, the Antikythera mechanism continues to hold secrets. Modern investigations using X-ray tomography and 3D modeling have uncovered even more about its functions and inscriptions, revealing details about the gears and their configurations, but the full extent of its capabilities and the exact methods used for its construction remain only partially understood. Some scholars speculate that it might have been influenced by earlier Babylonian astronomy, or that it could be a part of a tradition of similar devices now lost to history. The Antikythera mechanism has had a profound impact on our understanding of ancient civilizations. It serves as a testament to the ingenuity of the ancients and their pursuit of knowledge. The device has even inspired contemporary reconstructions and has been the subject of numerous scientific studies, exhibitions, and documentaries. It embodies the sophistication of ancient Greek science, demonstrating that the roots of modern astronomy, engineering, and computational devices stretch far back into antiquity, further than we previously imagined. Also known as the Parthian Battery, the Baghdad Battery is one of the most fascinating and highly debated out-of-place artifacts ever discovered. Unearthed in the vicinity of Baghdad, Iraq in 1938 by Wilhelm Koenig, a German archaeologist, the artifact's seeming simplicity highlights its potential historical significance and technological sophistication. It has ignited imaginations and scholarly debates, suggesting that our ancestors might have been far more advanced in certain areas than previously believed. The Baghdad Battery consists of a terracotta jar, approximately 5 inches tall. Inside the jar, there's a copper cylinder that houses an iron rod, which is isolated from the copper by plugs made of asphalt and bitumen. The copper cylinder is believed to have been soldered with lead, creating a tight seal. When the jar is filled with an acidic or alkaline substance, such as vinegar or wine, it could potentially act as a galvanic cell, generating a small electric current. The most intriguing aspect of the Baghdad battery is its potential use. The prevailing theory, proposed by those who believe in its electrical capabilities, that it was used for galvanic electroplating. This process involves using electrical currents to coat objects with a thin layer of metal, such as gold or silver. Evidence of ancient artifacts that appear to have been electroplated lends some credence to the theory, suggesting that the people of Mesopotamia could have utilized this technology for decorative or religious purposes. Experiments conducted with replicas of the Baghdad battery have demonstrated that it is indeed capable of generating an electric current when filled with an electrolyte solution. These replicas can produce voltages ranging from 0.4 to nearly 2 volts. Whilst this is a relatively small amount of electricity, it's sufficient for electroplating if the process is done slowly and carefully. Despite these intriguing possibilities, the Baghdad battery remains a subject of debate. Skeptics argue that there is no direct archaeological evidence linking the jars to electroplating or any other form of electrical use in ancient Mesopotamia. They propose alternative explanations for the artifact's purpose, such as it being a storage vessel for sacred scrolls, given the corrosive properties of the materials that could have acted as a preservation method. The discovery of the Baghdad battery in a region that was part of ancient Mesopotamia, a cradle of civilization known for its many scientific and technological advances, does add a layer of fascination to its mystery. If the hypothesis about its use in electroplating is accurate, it would suggest that knowledge of electricity and its applications were present much earlier than the 18th century, when modern understanding of electricity began to develop. The Baghdad battery challenges conventional timelines of technological progress, and it opens up discussions about the spread of knowledge and technology in the ancient world, much like the Antikythera mechanism that we mentioned previously. It raises questions about other potential technologies that ancient civilizations may have developed, only for those techniques to be lost to history and rediscovered much later. As of now, it still remains one of the most compelling archaeological mysteries, emblematic of the potential gaps in our understanding of ancient civilizations. Whether it served as an electrical device for electroplating or had a completely different purpose, its existence hints at a level of sophistication and ingenuity amongst ancient people that continues to inspire both awe and curiosity. The Saqqara bird is an artifact unearthed from the sands of Egypt in 1898, and it stands as a testament to the ancient Egyptians' ingenuity and their understanding of the world around them. Discovered in a tomb at Saqqara, an ancient burial ground serving as the necropolis for the ancient Egyptian capital, Memphis, this artifact dates back to approximately 200 BC and has since intrigued scholars, historians, and aviation enthusiasts alike. The Saqqara bird is crafted from sycamore wood and measures about 14 centimeters or 5.5 inches in length, with a wingspan of around 18 centimeters or 7.1 inches. What makes the Saqqara bird particularly fascinating is its design. It features a vertical tail fin, much like that of a modern aircraft, rather than the horizontal tail fin seen on the birds. This design suggests an understanding of aerodynamic principles, as the vertical stabilizer is a crucial element for the stability and control of an aircraft's flight. The predominant theory among Egyptologists is that the Saqqara bird was likely a ceremonial or religious object, possibly representing the Ba, a concept in ancient Egyptian belief that describes an aspect of the individual soul. However, the artifact's resemblance to a glider, complete with aerodynamic properties, has fueled speculation about its purpose and the knowledge possessed by its creators. Some researchers and enthusiasts have posited that the Saqqara bird might indicate a theoretical understanding of flight principles among ancient Egyptians. The Piri Reis map, stands as one of the most fascinating and enigmatic artifacts in the history of cartography. Created in 1513 by the Ottoman admiral and cartographer Piri Reis, this map has captivated historians, geographers, and conspiracy theorists alike due to its detailed and accurate depiction of parts of the world that, according to conventional historical accounts, had not yet been explored by Europeans. The Piri Reis map is a partial map, surviving as about one-third of the original drawing. It's drawn on gazelle skin and combines information from various sources, including Arabic, Indian, Portuguese, and possibly ancient maps. Piri Reis himself noted that he had used about 20 source maps to create his work, some of which were derived from the expeditions of Christopher Columbus. The map is particularly renowned for its depiction of the South American coastline with remarkable accuracy, including the Amazon River. What truly astounds researchers, however, is the representation of the Antarctic coast. The map shows the northern coastline of Antarctica as it would appear without ice, a detail that is both historically anachronistic and geographically perplexing, given that the continent's ice-free state has not existed for thousands of years and was not officially discovered until 1820 by a Russian expedition. The accuracy with which the Piri Reis maps portray these coastlines has fueled various theories about its origins and the source of information used by Piri Reis. Some suggest that the map could be evidence of advanced prehistoric civilizations, knowledge of geography being passed down through millennia. Others propose that the map might have been compiled from earlier, now lost maps created by ancient explorers who reached the Americas and Antarctica long before the known expeditions of the 15th and 16th centuries. The Voynich manuscript, named after Wilfred Voynich, a Polish book dealer who acquired the book in 1912, is a piece of work that defies the comprehension of linguists, historians, and cryptographers alike. Dating back to the 15th century, this baffling manuscript is written in an entirely unknown language, featuring a plethora of illustrations that range from the fantastical to the mundane, with no discernible order or clear purpose. Its pages are filled with pictures of non-existent plants, astronomical diagrams, bizarre creatures, and naked human figures engaging in mysterious activities, all of which contribute to the manuscript's aura of mystery and have fueled endless speculation about its origin, its content, and its purpose. The language used in the Voynich manuscript has resisted all attempts at decipherment, leading to numerous theories about its nature. Some scholars suggest it might be a coded text, whilst others propose it represents an unknown or lost language. The language's consistent pattern does suggest it carries meaningful content, yet its letters and words do not match any known language or script. This has led to the proposal of various hypotheses, including that it's a sophisticated hoax, a constructed language, or an encoded text that's using an uncracked cipher. The illustrations in the Voynich manuscript are divided into sections, suggesting the book might have served multiple purposes, possibly as a pharmacopoeia, an astronomical guide, or a biological compendium. However, the depicted plants do not match known species, the astronomical charts align with no known constellations, and the biological drawings and diagrams defy straightforward interpretation. This incongruence with known medieval text adds another layer of complexity and mystery to its study. Despite the efforts of many skilled cryptographers, including those who cracked codes during World Wars I and II, the manuscript remains undeciphered. Theories about its authorship range from the Italian polymath Leonardo da Vinci to the 13th century philosopher Roger Bacon, though there is no consensus or concrete evidence to support any particular individual. Some modern attempts have applied advanced computational techniques to the manuscript, hoping to find patterns that could lead to a breakthrough in understanding its content. Today, the Voynich manuscript is housed in the Beinecke Rare Book and Manuscript Library at Yale University. Its digital scans are available to the public, inviting amateurs and experts alike to engage with its mysteries. The manuscript continues to challenge our understanding of medieval knowledge, language, and communication, standing as a testament to the complexities of historical texts and the enduring human desire to solve the unsolvable. The aluminium wedge of Aiud, discovered in Romania within layers estimated to be 11,000 years old, presents a historical anomaly that both fascinates and baffles researchers and the public alike. Its composition of aluminium, a material not produced until the 19th century, suggests either an anachronistic understanding of metallurgy by ancient civilizations or raises questions about the dating of the artifact itself. One of the primary reasons for this being an anomaly is that aluminium is a material that was not commonly produced until the 1800s, and so it stands as a stark contrast to its supposed 11,000-year-old dating. This discrepancy poses significant questions about the history of metallurgy and technological development in ancient times. The dating of the wedge and its archaeological context has led to debates among researchers. The presence of an aluminium object in layers dating back to 11,000 years challenges conventional historical narratives about technology and material use in ancient times. This discrepancy has led to speculation about the accuracy of the dating methods or the possibility of the artifact being a more recent object. Theories about the aluminium wedge range from suggestions of an ancient advanced civilization with knowledge of metalworking far beyond what is currently understood, to more skeptical views proposing that this artifact might be a modern piece of machinery that was lost or buried in old strata. The lack of definitive evidence leaves much room for speculation and further research. Much like the Voynich manuscript, the aluminium wedge of Aiud has captured the imagination of both the scientific community and the public, and it does raise questions about the history of technological development and the potential for undiscovered knowledge of the past. These intriguing carvings within the Temple of Hathor at Dendera, Egypt, also known as the Dendera Lamps, present a fascinating challenge to our understanding of ancient technology and knowledge. Dating from around 200 BC, these carvings have sparked debate and speculation regarding the extent of ancient Egyptian technological advancements, particularly in the realm of electricity. Located in the Temple of Hathor, one of the best preserved temple complexes in Egypt, which I had the pleasure of exploring myself, and the footage you're now viewing is from that very trip. The Dendera lamps are part of a rich tapestry of ancient Egyptian religious and cultural practices. The temple itself, dedicated to Hathor, the goddess of love, beauty, music, and motherhood, provides a deeper insight into ancient Egyptian spirituality and technological prowess. The carvings that have been interpreted as depicting Dendera lamps show figures standing around large lotus-shaped devices that extend into a snake-like tube, leading some to speculate that these images represent electrical lighting systems, such as arc lamps or Crookes tubes. This interpretation challenges conventional understandings, much like the Baghdad battery, of ancient technologies, suggesting a level of scientific knowledge in relation to electricity not previously attributed to the Egyptians. If the speculation around the Dendera lamps as evidence of ancient electrical knowledge is accurate, it would radically alter our understanding of historical technological development. It would imply that the ancient Egyptians possessed some form of advanced understanding of electricity, predating the modern discovery and application of electrical technology by millennia. The interpretation of the Dendera carvings as electrical devices is highly controversial, of course, and not widely accepted within the mainstream archaeological community. Critics argue that these interpretations are anachronistic and reading modern technological concepts into ancient artworks. Alternative explanations suggest that the carvings symbolically represent mythological concepts or use metaphorical imagery to depict known Egyptian technologies like oil lamps. The discussion around the Dendera lamps highlights the broader fascination with the possibility of lost ancient knowledge and technologies, and Egypt is no stranger to some pretty amazing anomalies, archaeologically speaking. And so the Dendera lamps sit amongst a vast number of other questionable artifacts, discoveries, and locations in Egypt. The Quimbaya Plains are intriguing gold figurines from Colombia, sparking considerable interest and debate regarding ancient knowledge and technological capabilities. These Quimbaya airplanes date back to approximately 1000 CE and discovered among the artifacts of the Quimbaya civilization. These small objects bear an uncanny resemblance to modern airplanes, featuring elements like wings, tails, and structures akin to cockpits. Originating from the Quimbaya culture, known for its exquisite goldsmithing, the figurines are part of a broader collection of gold artifacts. This civilization flourished in the present-day areas of Colombia, leaving behind a legacy of sophisticated craftsmanship and artistry. The so-called Quimbaya aeroplanes are characterized by their aerodynamic shapes, which remarkably mirror the design of contemporary aircraft. This includes specific features such as elongated bodies, stabilizing tails, and wing structures, leading to speculation about the source of such detailed aerodynamic knowledge in pre-Columbian South America. Some proponents of alternative archaeology and ancient astronaut theories argue that the Quimbaya aeroplanes are evidence of either extraterrestrial influence or a highly advanced yet undocumented understanding of aerodynamics by the Quimbaya people themselves. They suggest that these artifacts could indicate the existence of flight technology long before the Wright brothers' first flight in 1903. Most archaeologists and historians, however, interpret these figurines as stylized representations of birds, insects, or mythological creatures, common themes in pre-Columbian art. The resemblance to modern aircraft is generally considered coincidental, stemming from the human tendency to perceive familiar patterns in abstract shapes, a phenomenon known as pareidolia. The Klerksdorp spheres are among the most curious and debated artifacts found in the realm of Uparts. Discovered within pyrophyllite deposits near Klerksdorp, South Africa, ranging in size from a few millimeters to several centimeters in diameter, the Klerksdorp spheres are noted for their near-perfect spherical shape and the distinct parallel grooves that encircle their equators. The composition of the spheres found within deposits estimated to be over 3 billion years old adds another layer of mystery due to the sheer ancientness of their geological context. The debate surrounding the spheres primarily centers on whether these objects are the product of natural geological processes or evidence of some form of ancient advanced technology. Some proponents of the latter theory suggest that the spheres' precision and the intricacy of the grooves could not have been naturally formed, implying that an unknown civilization with advanced machining capabilities might have created them. Most scientists and geologists argue that the Klerksdorp spheres are natural concretions. Natural concretions are compact masses of mineral matter formed by the precipitation of mineral cement between particles in sedimentary rock or in the spaces between sediment grains. The grooves, according to this explanation, could have been formed through natural processes such as the movement of sediment over time, erosion, or the action of microorganisms. The study of the spheres and similar artifacts continues to be an area of interest for researchers looking to expand knowledge of the past. While the majority consensus does lean towards a natural origin for these objects, the dialogue between different perspectives does foster a deeper exploration of our planet's geological history and the possibilities of human or pre-human activities. The Texaxic Calathlahuaca. The Texaxic the Tacaxic Calathwaka Head is an archaeological enigma that has sparked significant debate and speculation about pre-Columbian transoceanic contact. This small terracotta head, believed to depict a Roman figure, was discovered in 1933 in a burial offering at the pre-Columbian site located in the central Mexico area. The site was occupied from about the 1st to the 9th century AD, well before the known arrival of Europeans in the Americas. The head's presence in a context dating to the 13th to 15th centuries AD raises intriguing questions about the extent and nature of early contacts between the Old World and the New World. The Tacaxic head was unearthed by Mexican archaeologist Jose Garcia during the excavation of a burial offering within a shaft and chamber tomb at the Tacaxic area. The head is made of terracotta and measures approximately 1.8 inches or 4.5 centimeters in height. Its facial features, including a beard, suggest it may represent a European figure, which led to the speculations about its origin and the implications for pre-Columbian transoceanic contact. The discovery of the head has led to various theories about early European visits to the Americas before Columbus. Some proponents argue that the head provides evidence of such contact, possibly through Roman or Mediterranean traders or explorers who reached the Americas. Critics question the artifact's authenticity and the accuracy of its dating, suggesting that it could be a modern object that was inadvertently mixed with the pre-Columbian materials, or an object of pre-Columbian manufacture that coincidentally resembles a Roman figure. Attempts have been made to scientifically analyze the head to ascertain its age and origin, but challenges related to the dating of terracotta materials and the possibility of contamination have made definitive conclusions difficult. The head's stylistic analysis has not conclusively determined its origin, as it displays characteristics that could be interpreted as European or as belonging to pre-Columbian Mesoamerican cultures. The Tacaxic head has become a focal point for discussions about the possibility of pre-Columbian transoceanic contact, whilst most scholars remain skeptical of direct contact between Roman civilization and pre-Columbian America based solely on this artifact. Its existence encourages ongoing research into the complexities of early global exploration and cultural exchanges. Part of the larger archaeological complex of Tiwanaku near Lake Titicaca in Bolivia, the Pumapunku stones represent one of the most intriguing ancient sites in the world. Dating to around 536 to 600 AD, Pumapunku has astounded archaeologists and visitors alike with its massive and precisely cut stone blocks. The technological sophistication evident in these stones has fueled debates about the engineering capabilities of the Tiwanaku civilization and the methods used to transport, cut, and assemble these stones. The stones at Pumapunku are notable for their size, with some of them weighing over 130 tons and their distance from the quarry site, which is several kilometers away. The precision with which these stones were cut and fitted together is remarkable, featuring complex interlocking joints and intricate geometric designs that suggest a high level of mathematical and engineering knowledge. The precision and complexity of the stone cutting techniques have led some researchers and enthusiasts to speculate about the possibility of advanced ancient technology, potentially surpassing what was previously believed to be within the capabilities of pre-Columbian South American civilizations. Some have gone as far as suggesting that the Tiwanaku civilization had help from extraterrestrial beings or had access to lost technology that allowed them to manipulate stone with ease. Comment below, let us know what you think. How were they able to achieve these incredible stoneworking capabilities? Tiwanaku was a center of power in the region for several centuries, influencing areas far beyond its immediate vicinity. The construction techniques and architectural styles found at Pumapunku and Tiwanaku suggest a complex understanding, once again, of mathematics, engineering, but also astronomy and cosmology. One of the challenges in studying Pumapunku is the lack of written records from the Tiwanaku civilization, leaving much to interpretation from the physical evidence left behind. Additionally, the site has suffered from looting and destruction over the centuries, complicating efforts to understand the original layout and function of the structures. The Pumapunku stones continue to captivate and mystify, standing as a testament to the architectural and engineering prowess of the Tiwanaku people. While theories of advanced ancient technologies or extraterrestrial involvement do add an element of mystery to the site, the consensus amongst archaeologists is that the achievements of Pumapunku are a reflection of human creativity, labor, and the sophisticated societal organization of the Tiwanaku people. The Serapeum of Saqqara, located near Cairo in Egypt, is one of the most fascinating sites in ancient Egypt. Supposedly, it served as the burial place of the Apis bulls, which were worshipped as manifestations of the god Ptah. The complex includes a series of underground galleries and chambers where the massive sarcophagi made from single blocks of granite and other hard stones were placed. These sarcophagi, dating from as early as 1350 BCE, demonstrate extraordinary skills and technological prowess in ancient Egyptian craftsmanship. The granite boxes in the Serapeum, the video footage of which you're seeing from my last trip to Egypt, are notable for their immense size and weight. With some estimated to weigh up to 100 tons, the precision with which they were cut, with perfectly straight surfaces and right angles, as well as the smoothness of their interior, points to a level of craftsmanship that is remarkable for any era. The boxes are so large, and the corridors of the Serapeum so narrow, that the question of how these sarcophagi were transported and placed within the complex remains a subject of intense debate amongst archaeologists. There are various theories on how ancient Egyptians were able to cut, transport, and precisely place these giant stone boxes in the narrow chambers of the Serapeum. Some researchers speculate that the ancient Egyptians possessed some form of advanced stoneworking techniques, potentially including the use of lost technologies or tools that have not been discovered by modern archaeology. Most traditional Egyptologists believe that the Egyptians used clever engineering methods, such as leveraging large stones in place and using ramps both inside and outside the Serapeum to transport the sarcophagi. The precise nature of these methods, however, especially in the confined spaces of the Serapeum, remains pretty speculative. Another proposed method involves the use of sand. This theory suggests that the chambers and corridors were filled with sand, which allowed the sarcophagi to be positioned accurately. The sand was then gradually removed to lower the sarcophagi gently into place. But again, all of these are simply speculations, as we have actually no idea how the ancient Egyptians achieved this feat. Despite ongoing research, the Serapeum presents challenges to our understanding of ancient Egyptian engineering capabilities. The precision and scale of the work involved in creating and situating the sarcophagi within the Serapeum underscores the advanced level of knowledge and skill possessed by the craftsmen and engineers of ancient Egypt, and it also underscores our ignorance with our incapability to understand how it was achieved.